The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Meditation doesn't have to be a solo practice. Meditation is more fun with friends. Looking for a way to drop in and hang out at the same time? Join us online at Omega Institute for a meditation party with self-proclaimed meditation nerds Dan Harris, host of the 10% Happier podcast, Sebene Selassie, and Jeff Warren. This three-day retreat will stream live from Omega's Hudson Valley campus May 17th to 19th. Don't miss the party. Reserve your spot at eomega.org/party today.
Practical spirituality. Positive messages. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you ready to create a life that's intentional and dynamic? Welcome to The Intentional Spirit with your host, Reverend Temple Hayes.
And welcome, everyone. Thank you so much. And welcome to Being an Intentional Spirit. And that's the reason you're here. It's one of my favorite words in my new book, Being a Difference Maker. I think it's one of the most important things that we can be as an intentional spirit. We intend, and it's more than vision boards and goals, and all those things are so necessary to give an imprint to the universe of what we are realizing in our potential. Yet intentional is keep walking forward and not waiting until something changes or you're more inspired or on the other side of what you're figuring out, because you'll be living in the waiting room of the universe before you know it. And so one of the things that I feel is part of the foundation of Unity, and with the founders of Unity, is they believed in such potential, certainly related within a spiritual essence called Unity, but as a physical essence of taking care of one's body, one's being, for we carry this energy around us wherever we go. And our physical body is our bicycle, our car, how we carry our soul around. And it is very important. And in some cases, an immense priority to how we are and live with our vibratory field. So I feel very strongly about it, having years of taking my physical being for granted. It has nothing to do with my age. It has everything to do with wanting to be vibrant. And so I thank Charles and Myrtle for all of the things that they did. And to me, that's a part of often overlooked. They doubled their life expectancy. They exceeded miracles when it came to their physical well-being. So we brought in an expert, and she has been with us the past 2 weeks, Dr. Debbie Roche. And she is with us in her grand finale today. So a lot of intro there, Dr. Debbie, but I do think it's important for us to be aware of taking care of our physical being, because you can be as spiritual as you can see stars and angels and talk to dead people. And yet if you don't take care of your physical being, well, you can only get by so far. So thank you for being on our show. Delighted that you are here. And you've been giving us a wealth of information over these last 2 weeks. And I think Jeff and I have enjoyed it, haven't we, Jeff? So, yes, we have. So here we are. And it's all yours.
Thank you so much, Reverend Temple. It is an honor to be on your show. And it is an honor to be a part of First Unity and your spiritual community and all that you have taught us along the way. And this is one of my absolute favorite topics. And, you know, spiritual healing and intuitive healing is one of those things that I feel is the foundation of real evolution and real progress when it comes to physical healing. And last week we talked about how the importance of the mind and the metaphysics of emotion and how that impacts our physical body and our overall vibration, and how our mindset deeply impacts our ability to evolve and commit to a healing path. And so one couple of the things that I wanted to speak about was this concept of healing as a spiritual empowerment journey, and how our intuition plays into that. You know, over the weekend, Reverend Temple, I was very much called to pick up your book and start reading it again. And I was so, it's such a beautifully written book, and it has so many great tools and spiritual information in it. And, you know, you often talk about our GPS and our connection to the divine. And one of the questions I always wanted to ask you was, how did your intuitive ability develop?
You know, I think one of the things, not to sound like I'm one-upping you or not, I think I would like to say that it's not developed, it's used. And mm-hmm. because I think it's important for everybody to realize that everybody has it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it's more like, you know, I discovered in the between being an All-American softball player and an Army reservist, that girl, I got me some arm muscles. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you
I
do.
I've got
yes.
some muscles. You've seen them. I mean, they're like bulgy yes. muscles. But anyway, mm-hmm. back to you. Anyway, I have these muscles. And yet, if I don't use them, they atrophy. They aren't going so well. And so we are all born with intuition. The secret is using it, creating the space to listen. Now, it could be because at 5, I had spirit speak to me at 5 years old and tell me a plan or part of what my life path would be. And I think another part of that is that I was rebellious. We didn't use the word dysfunction back then, but I didn't trust the people because I wasn't impressed with the way they lived. I didn't listen to them. So I listened to the wellspring inside myself. And so that is the space. It's like that muscle that I'm aware that I have it, and when I use it and when I work out with a little weight and a little bit of tension, it is beautiful how it works for me. When I don't use it, it doesn't. And so it's called, it's likened to what we would say in New Thought, you know, just like tithing, when we say, well, the Bible says, test me. So intuition is like, test me, but it's about being aware enough that when you got the message, don't leave yet, I would give yourself 20 more minutes before you leave the house, and you hear this voice, and you go, I gotta go now, I'm hurry, I'm in busy, I don't wanna be late, and all that. And then, are you aware enough that when you then ran into a situation that you're able to go, gosh, if only I had listened? And it's about knowing better and doing better, isn't it? So that's the space for me, is that it's prove me. So when you get these messages, honor them so they can prove to you that you're spot on. You're absolutely spot on. And there's been so many times, I mean, we can't do a show long enough for me to tell you the number of times that when I've gotten the message, pick up the phone and call somebody, or don't call that person today, or don't go that way, go this way. And then I would find out later they had a large pileup as far as an accident. So I can't imagine not listening to intuition. But because we're talking about health, if I may, and I haven't even had that much coffee today, by the way, but I was just excited about the show. I can't tell you the number of times that I went to a physician who told me that I needed to have surgery or I needed to do X, Y, and Z. And I'm talking as a teenager, okay? And then going into my early 20s, and I said, that doesn't feel right, and I'm not doing that. And I didn't. A final note with intuition is in being, having the pleasure of being a woman. When I was coming up on my 40s, I can't tell you how many people meaning well would say, oh man, you're getting ready to come into that, you know, menopause thing, too long of a pause between men, and, you know, and you're going to have this, and you're going to have that, you're going to have that. Well, my intuition told me that it was going to be simple. And you know what? It always has been. So We underestimate the power of our own inner wisdom. We talk about it. We talk about going inside, and we give great speeches about that. But it's the listening and activating the listening with an action that makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. Is that helpful?
Yes, very much so. You know, I've studied science my whole life, and I have a great love of cells and the human body and science and research, and, you know, spend a lot of my time there. But when it has been me, and when it has been in situations where, you know, I have gone to many, many doctors, and, you know, for many, many different types of diagnoses, and I would not hear a lot of hope. And I would sit there, and I was so grateful that I had so obsessively studied biochemistry. And I've always been kind of nerdy, and I've always loved, you know, biochemistry mechanisms and nutrition and cellular dynamics. And so I would sit in front of many, many doctors, and I would think, huh, I wonder if, you know, and whether it be right or not, I would always, you know, ask them simple questions about cells and biochemistry to see what, you know, what angle, you know, and kind of where they were coming from. And they never, a lot of times they wouldn't give me the answer that I knew was kind of the correct one in some ways. Not to say, you know, I'm an integrative doctor, and I believe in Western medicine and natural medicine and spiritual medicine. So I respect, you know, everyone in different professions, but it really was my intuition, like you, that basically said, you know, this, you know, certain healing pathways, these are not for me at this time, you know. And then I would, and they were kind of some really grave diagnoses and things that nobody was giving me hope for in any way. And so I would, you know, that's when I would go to source, and I'd go to my intuition and, you know, and ask, you know, what should be my next move. And sometimes it was really simple. Sometimes it was, you know, drink enough water, you know, listen to this spiritual, you know, spiritual affirmation track, or do breath work or meditation, or get yourself out in the sunlight. You know, it wasn't profound, the things that I heard, but, you know, I learned quickly over time that if I listened to my intuition, good things happened. If I didn't listen to my intuition, then a 2x4 would come and I'd be knocked down somehow. And so, you know, as I, you know, I started noticing my intuitive gifts when I was really, really young. And home for me was not a safe place. So I spent a lot of time away from home. There was sexual abuse going on and a few other things. My mother was schizophrenic, and so it wasn't always a safe place to be. And so I learned to kind of navigate being away from the house with this intuitive voice in my mind that was kind of like an intuitive parent, when I didn't really have parents at that time in some ways to kind of guide me. So it always kept me safe. And so, you know, as I've grown through my teenage years and a lot of, you know, chaos in my home life and, you know, going through college and then, you know, pursuing different careers, it really always was the intuitive voice that kind of kept me aligned and safe and moving forward no matter what it is. And so now when I work with people, whether it be, you know, intuitive development students or people wellness coaching in different ways, or even when people, you know, are you know, coming to me as patients and trying to make health decisions, you know, I'm a really big believer in education and laying it out on the table. But in the end, I always encourage people, always go with your intuition. And whether that be Western medicine or Eastern or spiritual, I'm a big believer that it's our intuition that always leads us to our best answer. And so,
I just can't imagine living this life without it. It would spare a lot of divorces, a lot of health issues, career choices, and all kind of things. It's just the refusal to listen. And of course, you know, creating a sense of being grounded to sit with things and listen is very powerful as well. But I can't tell you the kind of things that I have avoided by going with that gut feeling, you know, that instinctive feeling. It's life altering. And I think that's why we're here with the Unity Radio Show, you know, because I believe that that's what Myrtle did, is she went with her gut feeling. She didn't go with what people told her, because people only tell you what they know. And what they know is limited to their experiences. Even when we live life with what we know, okay, we're only going with our past experiences or what we have read, whereas the future of ourselves is coming from within, with intuition and those instincts.
Yes, very, very much so. Go ahead. You know, one of the things I remember very clearly when I walked into First Unity the first few times was when you got up on stage, you always connected to your intuition first, and then you delivered the sermon for the day or the spiritual teaching for the day. You know, and back then, that was actually what brought me to First Unity Spiritual Campus, and I was so I felt so much at home, because it was the first time I had ever encountered spiritual teachings that brought up intuition and brought up what a gift it is in so many different ways in life. And so I always have been so grateful that the spiritual community that you have built and that you have taught so many leaders that have walked through that community. You know, first and foremost, you've always taught that, and I've always been very grateful, because it helped. It allowed me to embrace my own intuition and see it not as kind of an odd thing or a different thing, but really, you know, embracing the type of gift that it really is. And
well,
so, yeah.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, you know, that's why I say that, you know, certified and dignified are two different things. There's a lot of people that have permission to be a practitioner, a healer, an orator, an instructor, but often they learn from book learning, some life experience, and their teachers, you know, and where your work becomes dignified is not to be full of yourself, but to be full of spirit. Where your work becomes dignified and where you own it and you feel that is that internal branding, that it is the work that you came here to do. And many people have the tendency to go in the paradigm that's already there. And this is related to the physical being. But, you know, for example, I remember years ago, a minister came here. He was being recruited here. And he said, I was so excited to talk to you because I want to see what the job description was of the person, you know, before me and what he did. And I said, well, we won't be talking about that. More than likely, if he really liked what he was doing, he still might be here. And you're not him and he's not you. So, you know, it's going to be more what you shapeshift here. And that's very hard for people who aren't trailblazers and living in the infinity possibility. And the same is true with one's physical being. So many people relate where they are physically, what they have going on, how much energy they have, their immune system, and everything to their parents, right? what their parents had going on, the issues their parents had going on, and you can develop and affirm yourself into being just that time and time again. You can be aware of it, you can use wisdom, but ask your intuition, is this my path? More often than not, you'll get the word no.
That's very true. You know, I believe that we come into this world and we absorb so many of our parents' belief systems, the good and the bad, sometimes their criticism and negativity, and also their loves and their likes and dislikes, you know, and part of, you know, stepping up into our own selves is kind of shedding what parts of our parents are not us. And, you know, my dad is very non-metaphysical. My mother was actually very, very faith-based and spirit-based, but she was very ill my entire life. So, you know, she taught us great love and great faith, but she didn't have a lot of life skills to teach. And so, you know, a lot of times when I encounter people that are struggling with their health or their emotional health or their spiritual selves or whatever it may be, that it is oftentimes some type of block within, whether it be shame or lack of self-love or releasing some of their, you know, parental energies out of their hearts and their bodies and their spirits. You know, and oftentimes that's where the intuitive readings can come in and intuitive work really comes in, is that when we're stuck, whether it be physically not getting better or emotionally not being able to pivot and move forward or whatever it might be, there's oftentimes some type of block. And, you know, I have found, and I've been very, very grateful for my intuitive gifts, both personally and with working with people, is that it's often the block can be either really, really subtle and easily missed, or it can be something that the person already knows that they need to change. And so, you know, our intuition, and you spoke a lot about it in your book, actually, in different ways, that, you know, spirit and God and the divine or the universe or however people label that energy and that wisdom, it's always kind of pointing us in a certain direction. And if we're able to embrace the courage to take the steps towards it, that's usually when things get better. But when we're not able to, whether that be fear of being seen for who we are, or fear of being different, or fear of going against the standard normal or whatever it might be, that's when people, what I've seen in myself and the people that I've worked with, that's when they remain stuck, is when they're not able to either hear and listen to their own voice, but most importantly, not being able to take action on it. And I know that you are big on action, Reverend Temple.
Yes, we are. There's no point. Otherwise, it's just a, who was it that used to say it? Oh, this wonderful, wonderful coach. Chandra Alexander, she writes sometimes for Oprah's magazine, and she says that a great idea not acted upon is no different than an insight over happy hour or something like that. She said it better. I definitely know that she said it better, but it's escaping me at the moment. I haven't told it in a long time. But yeah, it's so true, and it's very important. I think we have so much to do with you know, choices when it comes to our immune system, our community, our in that space. There's so much to be done, especially during these times, of inviting people to listen to themselves. Rather than just being bombarded with information that may or may not be accurate. And we must raise our awareness, you know, in that way for sure. So all that said, One of the things I've enjoyed about seeing how you work with other people is that people will ask for your advisement with the word doctor in front. And that being said, you always say at the end, however, I believe that your own intuition, you want to be open to that, because if it gives you a different direction, that's what you need to pay attention to. And I must say that I have been with health practitioners and healers all my life, and shamans and all of that, because I've rarely ever gone the traditional route. I don't recall anybody ever saying that. So that, to me, is a sign of immense maturity. And I really praise you for that. I really do. I'd love to see more people out in the field traditionally and not to be able to say, this is how the test comes, this is what this is what that is, but also make sure your intuition is wanting to go this direction as well. What a world it would be. Can you imagine?
Yes, very true. You know, I've been in the world of academia and research and learning my whole life. I was a teacher for many years before becoming a doctor. And one of the things I always noticed was that everybody thought that they were right. And, you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, the research of things and, you know, the dedication to creating research and evidence-based types approach to healing and medicine or whatever it might be. But when I walk through several of my own healing bottoms and healing crises in some ways, you know, for me, the science didn't really help me much. And, you know, I respect everybody that dedicates their life to learning and teaching and healing and medicine. I believe they're all, you know, they all have...
We want to hear more about that when we come back after this short break. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And be sure and check out VibrantUWellness.com. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome back to The Intentional Spirit with Reverend Temple Hayes.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much. We've been talking these last 3 weeks about a subject that I feel is very important, and that is being in your body and being vibrant. Not just getting by, not hoping that one day when you're older that you'll still be healthy and all that mumbo jumbo, but a clear, precise blueprint within your own consciousness that states that you will be forever young and you will be ageless. You are gonna age, but you'll never get old unless you buy into ideas or unless you accept somebody else's DNA that's doing and never asking, that is not your own. But that being stated and that being said, you're here to be vibrant. You're here to make a mighty noise unto the Lord and unto the law. And if you're not, you want to ask yourself, what path are you aligning with? That being said, we've brought in a specialist. This is the third week, Dr. Debbie Roche, who specializes in the brain, in science, and intuition, and chiropractic, and acupuncture, and the list goes on. But you can find her by going to VibrantUWellness.com. That's VibrantUWellness.com. I want to thank all of you for your participation, and you can tune in to me anytime at TempleHayes.com. Love hearing from you and knowing what you're up to and shows that you would like to see us doing. And so many blessings. And so, Debbie, you have much to share. So continue on.
Thank you so much, Reverend Temple. I wanted to mention how healing experiences can often be spiritual empowerment journeys. And And the experience, even though it may take us to the bottom in some ways, it's often there where we can clear what is not needed or nurturing in our lives, and then we can kind of refine ourselves and clarify within ourselves what's really important, and also what we really want to do in our lives in terms of service and getting out there and showing up in our brightest and best ways. I'm a really big believer in doing everyday wellness things to support our immune systems and our wellness and our physical bodies. And a lot of people I don't really see out there, they're not really talking about the nervous system and the importance that it plays in every area of health and life. And so I wanted to just briefly mention the importance of our nervous system and its connection to the energies and kind of the metaphysics of things, because I feel that, a lot of, the reason why meditation and breath work and acupuncture and chakra alignment actually greatly impact the physical body is those modalities of their impact on the nervous system. And, our nervous system is our brain and all of the nerves that come from the brain that runs through our spine and that connects to our organs and our adrenals and many different areas of our body that regulate the stress response. But that once we are able to really start connecting to the silent, clear space inside, that has a direct impact on our nervous system. And then what happens is that it down-regulates the nervous system and can down-regulate the stress response. And a lot of people, the stress response and the adrenal HPA axis, those are things that, modern medicine and health education in general really don't showcase very well. And because, our adrenals and our stress system, impacts every single system of the body and impacts every single cell, because our stress systems actually regulate so many hormones. And so it's interesting to me is that, as I've learned how to calm down my own mind and create kind of a spiritual sanctuary inside my mind and able to kind of, clear my thoughts and to connect to to more the spiritual realm, the more spiritual energy type of things, what I have found is that my own health has also greatly improved, and also my intuitive ability has also improved greatly as well. And so, a lot of people, I just encountered one last week that has gone to Western medicine doctors his whole life, and then had a Reiki treatment and had amazing symptom reduction from one Reiki treatment. And so I was just discussing with him how when our energy systems, both our chakra system and our meridian system, when they become aligned, then the nervous system, the brain, registers that as less stress. And then that impacts our entire, almost every area of our bodies because of that decrease in stress. And so I'm a big believer that the energetic realm and our energy centers and our meridians and our connection to being able to calm our mind and, not only to embrace spiritual energy and divine energy outside of ourselves, and also the connection within ourselves, when we're able to really connect in a consistent way to that clear space and really dedicate time to improving and elongating that kind of that spiritual space inside where our intuition can step in. That's where I feel that not only do people embrace their own level or greater levels of empowerment and self and clarity, but they're able to connect to their intuition even more. And so when people start working with me in the different wellness programs that I offer, and the people that really are really dedicating themselves to the program, what happens is that as their cells start to align and as their body is starting to get the nourishment that it needs and the people that do chiropractic and the acupuncture part of it too. What happens is that as their bodies start coming into alignment, they'll often go through an emotional healing experience where their body and cells will start releasing old trauma energy and old energy that it doesn't want there anymore. And so as that happens, their personal vibration, their vibrational frequency of their entire body and their entire cells start to increase. And as that happens, their intuition starts exponentially improving and getting better. And once I see people getting to that level, then I feel like, not that my work is done, but that we've hit a greater plateau of spiritual empowerment and kind of helping the person claim their selves. Because once they're able to connect to their intuition, then they're not necessarily looking to me as much for the answers. And so a part of the work that I do is certainly education. You know, so there are some fundamental health things that greatly help people in their process, not only their physical process, their emotional process, and their wellness and spiritual process. But after a while, you know, once the foundational basics are learned and they're really in the flow, then after a while they start, you know, hearing their intuition clear, and they start making their life choices based on, you know, their intuitive connection, which is always the goal for me. And so in my book, The Joy Matrix, I wrote the book as a life, wellness, personal empowerment, and healing reference book. And this book represents my own personal walk, and it's based in the concept of metaphysics and this idea of vibrational frequency, and that each of us has a composite vibrational frequency that's impacted by many different areas of life. Of course, there's the things we eat and the physical things we do for our body, and, you know, our cells and nutrition, also the thoughts we think, and clearing things like shame or self-sabotage or whatever those lower vibration, more mental constructs exist. Also, you know, relationships, choosing, you know, healthy people to connect to and share our hearts and to be safe in sharing our hearts. And also many different areas like organization and, you know, and spiritual connection. There are a couple of my favorite tools in there. You know, I'm a big believer in prayer, not just in, you know, just the idea of prayer, like, God help me, but also, you know, I feel it's about the universe spiritually listening to my heart. And something about that always just means something a great deal to me. So even if I'm maybe in a moment of disbelief, just going through the motions of prayer in a consistent way always helps my heart feel better. Also, you know, connecting to certain spiritual places and spaces outside in a consistent way has always been very helpful in kind of enhancing my connection to spirit, especially if I'm not in the mindset. You know, certainly meditation. My mind has always been very, very busy naturally. And so I've learned that in the beginning, I was not able to really sit still and meditate. So I would walk and meditate. So I started kind of in a different way. So I would start with walking meditation or movement meditation, kind of like yoga. And then after a while, I was able to sit more still and to really create longer and longer periods of that clear mind space. And the more that I was able to do that, the more my intuitive connection would kind of kick in into that clear space. You know, I believe that everybody has the ability, their intuitive ability. And I believe it's in that space of intuitive connection and intuitive clarity that we're able to make the best choices for ourselves and to get clarity on the most perfect next action, especially when we're in periods of transition or time periods of fear or ambiguity in our own lives. And so I believe that, well, the Joy Matrix was one of those things in my life that I thought about for many, many years. And, you know, every single tool, it has 77 tools in the book, and it can be used for anybody struggling with addiction or walking through the experience of healing trauma. That's one of my areas that I most love to research and to work with. And it really is a reference manual. So if somebody only has 2 minutes, they can open the book up and read a tool, and not just what the tool is, but why it works. And I've used every single one of these tools, and they've certainly transformed my own life and have brought me out of many, many dark places and some really bad bottoms. And so, you know, I've gotten some really great feedback on the book, and in the back is my own personal story. And so I am, and even I do want to mention that this book was 100% intuitively derived. And what that means is that even the structure of the book, in terms of how I laid out the information, the image on the front of the cover, I actually kept seeing that image psychically. And I was like, how am I ever even going to, you know, explain what this image is to a graphic designer? And I was so surprised that the graphic designer, on the first try, almost got the image perfect. And so this is, when I look at the book, it makes me so happy that it's out of my brain and into life somehow, you know. So I was so excited about part three of our series. And, you know, I really feel that spiritual connection and spiritual healing and our intuitive connection and intuitive healing, for me, has always been the foundation. You know, when we walk through a very scary and sometimes very life-limiting healing experience, it can be terrifying, and it can be it can turn your world upside down. It can be very lonely and very can be dark at times too, because there's not a lot of hope depending on what healing practitioner you go to. You know, and it has been in those moments where I had to, you know, reach for something bigger than the science and bigger than my fear and bigger than my disbelief in, you know, things getting better. And it was, you know, really my my spiritual connection and my faith above all else. You know, faith has always been my favorite word. I hope to get that word tattooed on me somewhere in my lifetime. But that, you know, when we are walking through situations where that are laced with so much fear and not a lot of hope, it really is our faith and our commitment to that faith and our commitment to a bigger picture for our lives and what we want to do here on Earth. I believe that that's what carries us through when there's no other hope anywhere else. And so, you know, Probably my two favorite tools for being able to hear my intuition. One is journaling. I always, you know, when I've been most scared or most alone or walking through some of the scariest health experiences, I went through two brain injuries, actually, that were terrifying, you know, it is in those sacred spaces of being able to write out my thoughts and ask my intuition, what am I most meant to learn here, or, you know, is everything going to be okay? And, you know, because my mind is certainly not my friend in those moments. And so, you know, in my writings, you know, my grandmother would step into my writing and I would hear her through my words. And that was my first real experience with my intuitive connection. It was in my mid-20s when that started to happen, and or that level of clarity. And so, you know, I'm always amazed that, you know, my guides and my guides and my angels really step in so strongly through journaling, and that the journaling process and the writing process helps me greatly. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the best tool for somebody else. Maybe it's potentially painting or, you know, doing something with clay or some type of creative energy flow activity, because I feel it's when we are connecting to, you know, our creativity with the openness and kind of, you know, whether it be subconsciously or consciously asking source to come through with greater information. I feel that as we commit to some type of spiritual creative activity, that our intuitive ability and clarity gets better and better. And I know, Reverend Temple, you mentioned at the beginning of the show that, you know, the more that we take action on what we're hearing and the more that we see that the spiritual action that we're taking is good and benefits us in some way and makes things better. That's how we grow spiritual muscles. And, I've been knocked down enough to really respect the spiritual message that my intuition brings, and to honor it and to take action, because I've learned to be really, really humble and to listen, because I don't want to get knocked down again. But I'm trying to think of any other tools. I know that you mentioned in your book you used to have a radio show based on teaching tools. And so I thought, what are some of my best tools, in terms of spiritual healing? And so are there any great tools, Reverend Temple, that you would like to add in terms of spiritual intuitive tools?
Wow. Well, there's just so many, really. I feel that sometimes with the physical dimension and the health and the emotional component that we're talking about, if you as a person out there, you decide to go on a date and you feel, like there's a connection, and then, okay, then maybe a kiss goodnight. And I'm not going to elaborate because we could open up a whole door and I may get myself in trouble, before it's all over. But my point being that you step out, you go into an action. Now, what happens often with the emotional body, the mental body, or the physical dimension is that, well, I guess with any of them really, is that you're moving the intangible to the tangible. Mm-hmm. And that can be, it's like the difference between the one person that achieved the 4-minute mile and the person that did not was just a few more minutes that was willing to do something. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. that's the part that, when you're working with a practitioner, or you're working with a therapist, or you're working with somebody, we tend to, as a culture, want these quick fixes. There is instantaneous healing. Our consciousness can shift instantaneously, but I still feel like at times we're not able to short circuit the work. In other words, you may set out to be 25 pounds lighter just because you made the decision to do so and you had an instantaneous healing that says, I now want to be this new ideal size. There's still the space to hold that you don't give up before you see the results. And often mm-hmm. I think that happens too quickly, that people go, I don't really see any difference or whatever, and yada, 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 yada. I think I'll just write a country song instead and not give the opportunity for that space to occur. Because when you set that imprint in motion, and that's one of the biggest spiritual tools, is the power of the I am, and you set that in motion, you allow the space for things to come and find you. And they will, mm-hmm. but if you short circuit it, or you're looking for a quick fix, you may not be as pleased with the results that you would have achieved mm-hmm. for things that are lasting. We have people that will put their name on a business card, for those people that still use them, put their name on a business card because they took a 2-weekend retreat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And yet, yeah. I look at in my years of studying shamanism, we're talking 10 years, and I'm still mm-hmm. studying it. You understand that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's like, I guess the bigger picture is that the spiritual maturity is not a person that measures life by human time, but by soul time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very, very true. Go ahead.
Because soul time is this is just the beginning. We've only just begun. There's no race, there's except the human one, and there's no hurry, really.
In your book, you really talked about the, you said it very eloquently, and I don't remember the exact words, but you really, it was that once you set the purity of your intention with your whole heart, that's when the universe aligns with that energy, and that's when things show up to help you reach, you know, the end goal of that purity of the intention. And, you know, I see that a lot in you know, many of the people that I work with, the people that are, you know, wholeheartedly committed to healing and they really, really believe in that healing. Those are the people that most of the time are successful, even more successful than I ever thought they could be. And so, you know, I see it time and time again about the power of that intention, whether that be in physical healing or emotional healing or career or personal goals or whatever it might be, the spiritual principles that we live by, it really is about visualizing the what we're wanting and believing it emotionally and the vibration of what that brings into our sphere. And then when we are able to really commit to that vibration and that vision, then we're able to take the actions or more easily take the actions. And then oftentimes the universe steps up to help us. So absolutely. I really am a huge believer in that purity of setting that intention. And I'm trying to think of any other, tools that I most love. I love the actual angel cards. I feel that, you know, for people that are new in intuitive development that are just kind of learning about incorporating more intuitive type things into their lives and their consciousness, I believe that the intuitive cards are an easy way to kind of carry spirit with you on an everyday basis. And there have been many, many times in the beginning when I was just kind of learning them and playing around with them, but they have been incredibly helpful as I've grown in my intuitive development journey. And, that and certainly meditation books that have the daily reading of meditation and certainly, you know, certain recordings that help the mind. I feel that, you know, the mind is one of those things that can throw up a lot of fear in moments when things are a little bit not clear. And in your book, you mentioned the shield. It was a spiritual shield to use when fear creeps up. And I thought that was such a wonderful tool in terms of how to manage fear. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's it's when you create your own imagery and you create your own, symbol for something, it has great power in your life because it came from you. So years ago, when I used to have this immense danger of fear, I would visualize holding up a shield in my mind and it would dissipate the fear. And that's, you know, definitely a process of things that are your stopping point, that you create imagery to dissipate it, because if you try to think it away, it increases, and that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And speaking of increasing, well, we'll have to increase with another show because we've run out of time. I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening and being a participant with this wise energy that we've been bringing today from Dr. Debbie Roach, and her website is vibrantyouwellness.com. I trust all of you will continue to have an amazing journey on this adventure we call life. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
I I'm Michelle Phillips, a celebrity makeup artist, beauty expert, self-confidence coach, and Hay House author. My podcast, Beauty and Beyond, is the place for women navigating the challenges of the aging process. Listen in for my professional advice, as well as my expert guests, as we share valuable tips, practical tools, and empowering resources to help you not only look amazing, but also live an amazing life. Part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network and available wherever you get your podcasts.